Meeting is changing, yes. Good, okay. Okay, so I guess we're calling this meeting to order.
Just go ahead and call your meeting to order and just open it. Say, it's typical for you to say this is the meeting of the Highlands Historical Society on this date, and then give us a time.
So we'll call the Highlands Historical Society meeting for the 18th of April, 2024, 7 p.m. to order. And do we need to do the minutes before we call Stephanie?
I'll do this one.
Yeah, okay. We're going to turn. Can you hear her voice?
I'll talk really loud.
Yeah,
is that good?
Okay.
Okay. All right. Stephanie Cottle, City Reporter, here to do our annual open and public meetings training, which many of you have been through multiple times. So I'm going to just kind of give an overview, and then I'm going to let you ask me any questions about what this particular body needs to do to comply with open and public meetings. Okay. So first of all, what is a meeting, and why do we make a big deal of this? The idea behind open and public meetings is that all public bodies take their actions openly and they deliberate openly. Okay. So a meeting is when you have a quorum of people here with you, and that's a majority of the voting members. It includes workshops, if you were to go on a traveling tour somewhere. It doesn't include if you meet each other at the grocery store. Okay, that's called a chance social gathering, so we don't count those. And emails, group emails, also do not count as a meeting. They're simply communication that happens between you. Just so that you know, you are considered a public body because you do receive funds from the city. Although I know it's just a little bit, but you do receive funds from the city, and you advise council on what you're doing as far as the historical society. So you are considered a official public body of the city. Let's see, agendas and noticing. This is going to be something that I will be working with Claudia to handle all the agendas. She was great. She sent me an agenda that has to be posted 24 hours before your meeting. So, and that gets posted on the city's website. It gets posted at the place of the meeting. So you'll see that it's posted on the west door. That's where I always post your meeting notices. Is on the west door of the community center, and then I post them on the Utah Public Notice website. So there's three places that those get posted 24 hours before your meeting, at least 24 hours. During the meeting, Claudia, like you called the meeting to order, which was great. Call the meeting to order, and then you just start working through the items on your agenda. And I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name. Brenda.
You're Brenda.
Brenda, thank you. Brenda's doing a great job. She's done awesome minutes. So she will record who is here. And if there's members of this body that are appointed to this body that are not here, you will also want to record who is not here as well.
Okay, I haven't done that.
Okay. Then in your minutes, you will want to include the time that the meeting began. Mm-hmm. Who is here, who is not, and then just a summary of what happened in the meeting. It does not need to be a verbatim,
right,
word for word. It's just kind of a summary of what's happened. And then at the end, whoever adjourns the meeting, they will want to make a motion to adjourn, and then someone will second, and then you can all vote yes or no to adjourn the meeting. And then you will want to record the time that the meeting ends as
right.
well. So that's kind of minutes in a nutshell. Sometimes we get a little bit confused about the approval process of minutes. So during this meeting, you're approving the minutes that happened during the last meeting. So those minutes kind of have a flow that kind of goes within. You have the meeting, you take the minutes. The next meeting, the minutes get presented to the body, they get approved, and then they get back to me. So 3 days.
I need to get these back to you, which I haven't been doing.
Oh, okay. 3 days after the meeting minutes are approved, I have to have those posted on the city's website and on the public notice website again as well.
Okay.
So, Brenda, if you wouldn't mind just sending, once everything's been approved, if there's any corrections to the minutes, if you will do those before you send them to me. as well. That would be wonderful.
I just email them to you.
Just email them to me. Yep, that would be great. So that's kind of the life cycle of minutes, how that works. Let's see. You don't have to deal with open and closed meetings with this body, and you're most likely not going to have to deal with public hearings in this meeting, so in this within this body. So I'm not even going to go over those with you. Do you have any questions about open and public meetings?
Don't know enough to ask.
As questions come up over the year, as you're conducting your business, please reach out to me if you have any questions. I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have about how we run meetings. But that, in a nutshell, is what is kind of what you would need to know for this particular body. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I will. I'm going to leave this with you. You can have this to look over if you have any questions on that. That's just kind of my little cheat sheet on open and public meetings. And with that, I will excuse myself, and you can continue on with the important business that you have for your meeting. Thank
okay.
you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
But I am going to use this because I learned a lot of years ago that my voice range is the worst for people with hard of hearing. When I was taking my grandmother for her hearing aids, they did a little test and they showed me, and she would always say, "Why can't I hear her at all?" And I said, "This is why." So,
okay.
I don't want Charlie to go through the whole meeting and have no idea what he's saying. Okay?
I can verify that that's correct, because her voice I can hear easily without as much
at all. I've been told many times. So. No matter how loud I talk, I'm still kidding. So, this meeting, I plan to talk more than I ever will in any other meeting. After this meeting, but Charlie, I talked to Charlie about several things, so I'm going to tell you what I brainstormed and what I learned on the research based on things he asked me. But to start with, we have to take care of a couple of business items first. I didn't even put that on this page, it's on my other one. So we need to vote on the minutes, and I'm not going to move to a motion.
I need to read them.
Okay.
Yeah, I have to read the minutes.
I forgot that part.
Okay. Wait a minute. Yeah, here we go. Okay. Charlie Greenland called the meeting to order. Oh, here are attendants: Charlie Greenland, Mark Thompson, Eric Adamson, Brenda Thurgood, Roger Subways. Charlie Greenland called the meeting to order at 7:05 p.m. Review and approval of minutes. Brenda read the last meeting held on minutes of. Oh, I did that. Read minutes of last meeting held on 19th October 2023. Mark moved to approve minutes as read. Eric seconded the motion. Voting was unanimous. The discussion items, number one, discussion on reorganization goals. Charlie said there is an opening for a permanent treasurer. Eric agreed to do that. Treasurer could be combined with the secretary, but there is an advantage to having separate positions. Charlie would like to become historian. Number two, nominations for president and other officers. Claudia asked Charlie what he wanted to have happen to Highland Historical Society. He wants it to keep going. He would like to share history with someone else who would care about it. Claudia cares about the history of Highland and said she would be happy to take responsibility to continue Highland HHS. I abbreviated it.
Yeah.
So it might all been on one page. She recognizes how much time Charlie has put into HHS and would hate to see it fall apart. She's afraid the city would let it die. She doesn't want that to happen. Mark suggested Claudia become vice president and work with Charlie until questions are answered about the future of the organization. 3, election was tabled for now. 4, member input. Charlie reported that Kim Rodella got the Highland Historical Society Facebook page up and sent out to people in Highland. Possible members of the Highland Historical Society are early settlers such as Quentin White, Clark Day, and Joy Ruff. Eric does not feel Historical Society gets support from the city. Charlie agrees. Eric would be willing to go to city council meeting with Charlie to confront the council about lack of support. He will also set up a meeting with Winnie Jensen. Mark will go with him. body ask if other city historical societies get support from their cities. Mark gave example of Lehigh's focus on their city's history. Mark mentioned that Ron Campbell is Highlands Historical Society's best ally on the city council. He also suggested Charlie talk to Kim Rodell and ask her to help the Historical Society get support from the city council. Claudia suggested plan of action. First step is to talk to Kim Rodella to initiate interaction with the city. Second step is to talk to Winnie. Eric said he felt really good about what was accomplished at this meeting. The adjournment, the motion by Mark, seconded by Eric, voting was unanimous, adjourned at 7:59 p.m.
Thank you.
There you go.
Okay, now I'm going to pass to approve the minutes.
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
I second the motion.
I have a question. Do we, I know somebody's going to get with Winnie. Did you get with her and found out she was interested in?
Yes, I have talked with Winnie.
Okay, then we need to find out what you think we ought to do at that point.
Winnie has agreed to join the committee. So I just haven't been able to get a hold of her the last week and a half to actually get her here today.
Okay. So do we need to do anything to help you on that?
No, she is on board.
Good, good. She'd be a great asset.
So.
What do we call ourselves? Is this a committee?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So Charlie brought up a couple of things that we need to take care of real quick. We're going to fly through this so that we can try to get them before she has to leave. I have never actually been voted in as a member of this society before, and you have not actually voted for me as president. Only I've just been appointed by the mayor.
That sort of trumps everything.
So there you go.
Can we make a motion to accept you as president?
I can't second, so I'm just going to second.
Okay, wait, hold on. Okay, never mind. Okay, so Ray.
Yeah, Charlie in a second. He's got a more important voice on him.
Okay. All right, so.
All agree, say aye.
Fine.
Aye.
Aye.
Thanks for not voting me out. But if you want to, I'll be happy to.
Yeah, yeah.
Who seconded the motion?
Charlie.
Charlie.
Okay. So these screens are mostly for me so that I can tell the notes are going to overwhelm me. And I was asked about the pictures for that we got taken at the city council meeting. And I have one by council member who's going to send it to me. So I will show you the pictures that were taken at the committee at the council meeting. When we went to the city council, they took a picture of the whole group. And I will share those with you as soon as I get them.
Oh, okay.
So I thought I'd probably start really quickly and tell you a little bit about me and why this is interesting. So I was born on an Air Force base near Sacramento, California, and I grew up in a Virginia suburb of Washington, D.C. Okay, I transferred to BYU in 1989. That was my also first year I came to Highland. I had my wedding reception in Highland because I married Sterling Sudweeks, who is the son of Richard and Joe. I think everybody in here knows who they are. Richard and Joe Sudweeks. My father-in-law was on the school board, he was a city councilman, he was in the state presidency around here. So, and my mother-in-law is a retired Highland Elementary kindergarten teacher. So, Highland. Yeah. And we have lived in Highland, we lived here from 94 to 97, and then my husband did a postdoc in North Carolina, and then we've been here since 2001. His family has lived here since 1980. Okay. We have 6+ children, because we have a lot of add-ins that we just get. And all 4 of my children that have married in, the 4 in-law children, their families all live in Highland. I don't know how we do that. And we have 6 grandchildren with a 7th through in Hollicus. Our passions are family history, history of all kinds, preservation, and children. And I'm a professional genealogist and a research manager for a small genealogy company. I run a video biography business. I'm a board member of the Utah Genealogical Association and on several committees. I'm a Utah delegate to the National Genealogical Society. I'm a member of the Utah Historical Society, and I don't know, that kind of sums it up. Yep. Okay? All right, and that's my turn. Okay, so let's keep moving. There's supposed to be a vice chair, apparently, but I think we hold off on that until we figure out some more things. But do we need to re-vote for how often the secretary get voted in, or is that just like a permanent?
Ooh, I don't know if somebody else could do this if they wanted.
How often does the secretary have a position that just, I was just reading through some things that Stephanie had sent me, and so she said we should have a vice chair, a secretary. We have a secretary, so we don't have to re-vote that, right?
No.
Okay. And then we would like to add a historian position and ask Charlie to be that. So, does someone?
I move to make Charlie our historian for our committee.
I second that.
Okay.
And
all in favor?
All in favor?
I'm in favor too.
Okay. All right. So there, we've got that. And my plan is to grow this committee, and so because we've got a lot of ideas coming, because Charlie has planted thoughts in my head that are very dangerous. Haven't you?
Pardon?
You've planted too many thoughts in my head.
Okay.
So, to me, my roles are to coordinate, to give ideas, and to fill in gaps that don't get filled in. But normally, I'm hoping that you guys are. And if this group grows, we may have to find another room. We might have to move to another room, or I don't know. We'll figure that out if it happens. And normally, if there was other people here, I would always try to give the community an opportunity to give some sort of feedback at this point. But since it's just us, we're going to keep going. Okay? And I'm talking into this loud enough.
I'm
listening
a lot.
Okay. All right, I'm going to... Charlie, you're going to be my guide. If I'm talking too fast, or if I'm not doing a good job of speaking into it.
Okay.
Okay, so first off, you're going to get my brainstorming and research, and I'm just going to run through a bunch of things, and then you're all going to let those ideas percolate in your head and give feedback when we're done. So you can throw in thoughts in the middle. I'm not suggesting you can't talk. I'm just saying that if I get through it faster, maybe that will help. Okay, so when I talked to Charlie and I asked him what did he see was the vision of this society, and he said basically to preserve the history we've collected and anything we can gather, protect it, keep it safe, and share it. He wants his vision is that the youth and the people of Highland will actually learn what our history is. Yeah. Okay. And eventually he wants a larger museum, which we will talk about at the end. Okay, so I took his thoughts and I went to lots of friends and asked their opinions and what do you think a historical society should be. I have a little, we call ourselves the nerd group, where we meet monthly to discuss genealogical journals, and so they're like the big genealogists in Highland, so Alice Child. Do you know Alice?
Pardon?
You know Alice Child? And Jenny Hansen, and anyway, some others. So they gave me several opinions as professional genealogists on what they would expect a society to have, a historical society. I talked to the UGA president, she's also a Highland resident, Kristen Tolman. Erin Pritchett, she takes pictures of everything in Highland and is also a genealogist. I talked to our librarian, Donna Carden. She had the best ideas, and a lot of things you hear tonight are going to be because we sat down for a while, and she blew my brain. The friends of the library historian, Claudia Bushman, I talked to one of the history teachers at Lone Peak to get some ideas on some of the things. I talked to the mayor. I want to talk to Aaron Wells some more, but he's out of town right now. Thanks to some of the elementary school teachers, and wrote to the Utah Historical Society, person over local history society, and here's some other. And I also, you wanted to know, I talked to Bishop Ball, and also what you should know is that my husband was the bishop that was over the packing up of the Strasburg Church.
Oh.
So I called his executive secretary that was over packing the library, and he is Gary. He is jogging his brain to try to remember what happened to some of that stuff. And Bishop Ball hasn't found it yet, but he's going to go through the clerk's office and some other things, and we'll see if we can find it. Okay?
One thing is, I thought about that is, we used to have at that church the first charter of the Boy Scouts. And it was at that church right there, and it just happened to be around.
That's in the Larson Park building now, isn't it? I've been in there, and they've got pictures of all the very first Eagle Scouts.
So this is just a regular charter sheet, but like this.
Yeah.
And my uncle, Mark, was the first Scoutmaster, Mark Adamson. And it had the Scouts, some of the Scouts on there, but that was it was there for a long time. It was in the old Strasburg building.
Huh.
It could have went anywhere. I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
I just know it's good.
These are the kinds of things I would like to us to make a list of that we're going to be trying to figure out where they are. Okay? So now I'm just going to start going. You're going to learn how crazy my brain is. I'm feeling very sorry for you. But Ray already knows. Okay. So the first thing we need to do is collect the histories, right? I mean, Charlie has built quite a collection, written quite a bit. We have that up on the city webpage. But I want to collect all the different pieces. That's the first stage, is to gather everything, right? So there are other written histories, but I'm going to start with the interviews and videos. The first thing to me that is the most important, because you just never know what's going to happen to people, is I would like to organize a group to do some interviews, video interviews of those with the earliest memories, you know, currently the earliest memories of Highland. So that would be like your mom, and you would definitely be going after Charlie, and several.
Quentin White.
So this is the kinds of things. Who would you want on that list? And at the end, I'm going to ask you this again. So you're going to be thinking about all these things. Who would be on that list? So that might be people like, it's certainly going to be Quentin White and Charlie, and I would also like to interview David Durfee, who did his master's thesis in 92 on the city of Highlands history. And I would like to interview the mayors here and any others you suggest, okay? So we're going to make think about that. So as far as who...
Don's there, but the mayors are still here.
Okay, well, that...
Don is
and we'll kind of make a priority list and work our way through what should be done. So for interviewer ideas, remember I talked to all these people and I asked a lot of people what their suggestions were. My feeling, because Charlie and I both agree about this, that you, in order to get them involved in our history, need to be involved in collecting it. So they are really good with cell phones and videoing and editing videos and making things. So I'm approaching the Highland Youth Council, the high school service organizations, and state youth councils to locate youth that would be interested in this. And some other friends suggested that the BYU and UVU might also have interns for that kind of thing, or church service missionaries. Can be asked, we can request that if we need to. So make sure it's consistent, because I have done this for a business before. I would kind of create a basic questions database so we could have, you know, about childhood kind of questions, good ones that kids would want to know the answer to, and early memories of Highland, the kind of people that lived here, et cetera. And then I would teach them you know, preparation and setup, like, you know, don't have a lamp right behind them so it looks like there's a head, you know, a hat on their head, that kind of silly thing, and how to talk to older adults, because sometimes teenagers aren't the best. Right? Okay? And, you know, and they could give us ideas on fun ways to prepare this little video clip. Okay? So that's one idea. Remember, these are all just brainstorming, me thinking and talking to people. Go ahead.
Put this around your neck.
Would that help? All right. Tell me if that is helping, Charlie. Yes, no.
Put this, so that it hangs a little further.
Is that better?
Yes.
All right, good. I hate that. Thank you. Well, now we know. I should have just asked you to begin with.
I just never thought of it until right now. I don't know why.
Okay, well, good. I've been researching, trying to figure out how to do this better, so I should have just asked you. Okay, and eventually, one friend suggested that we do correct memories from residents, just, you know, but that should be a little further down the road. Another thing would be collecting and digitizing. I've been to Charlie's house. I've seen a huge list table of stuff he has that were the sources for the history he wrote. All of that needs to be digitized. All of it. Not to mention stuff we have in here. Plus, if you know of other written histories by anyone else or anybody that's going to have collections of things, whether they be family histories or maybe businesses or government histories. That's one of the reasons I want Winnie to be involved, to help me with that part, the government side.
Mark, you took my mom's book, and it has been digitized, right?
I've got that.
I don't think I ever had it.
Well, in other words, they took that book that she wrote all the readings and everything in. All my mom's readings and everything. But
I haven't seen that one, then. And one I've got is your history book.
But you got to check with that, because I thought that you took that and then brought it back to me and brought me a CD. Hey.
Yeah, that would be the only thing I had, is we got that.
Yeah, that's okay.
As far as her notebook or...
No, you brought it back to me, but I'm just saying you did get a CD and right. Brought me a copy of the CD.
So here's your digitized, right?
Yeah, I mean.
Okay. Well, these are the kinds of things I want you to ponder and be thinking about even after we leave the meeting, because we need to survey what's out there and collect it, okay?
Now, David Durfee has a lot of
David
Durfee's going to
donate.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about that.
One thing, too, I might just mention. The library, you know, they were throwing things away out here on this table, giving away. Some of them were histories of Highland. That's when the Addison book came back here.
Yeah, right. That says right on it. No, not for circulation.
And the library said they have no use for
it. I had a long talk with Donna about this. And one of the problems is the library is growing bigger than its boundaries. But she was not the librarian that felt the previous librarian was the one that
caused the CDs are still here,
some of the... And so she and I talked about how we could turn some Highland histories into something that could be kept at the library. But as far as the actual books and things, we're going to have to store, you know, like the huge collections, we're going to have to store in other places. And that is on my list, too.
Okay.
So...
I feel better about what's going on with the library. I guess a bunch of them will gather all this stuff together and we'll figure out what to do with it.
So, you've burned in all of that. Keep asking questions like that. You make me feel better. Okay, I also at some point want to contact the descendants of the early families, any that are not like sitting right here. Because, you know, some of the pictures we have are, you know, bad copies. So I would like to find out if they have original pictures and documents or any other resources that we might want to make digital copies of, too. So
they should be with that book you're looking for.
Right. Okay. So for that, so these are just, like I said, brainstorm lists, and you're the group that knows the answers to these pieces. So help me think about that. So if we digitize, we also have to have the equipment to store it on.
Right. I have a drive big enough, and I just lost the word I want. Anyway, I can store it for a little while. Eventually, when we start talking about the bigger systems, we'll have to upgrade. But and as far as scanning, we have the Lehigh Family Search Center, which has the most amazing different various types. I don't care whether we're doing newspapers, which I'm hoping Catherine Schramm's granddaughter's reception is on Saturday, so I'm going to be talking to some of her kids and saying, where are all those Highland Pipers? You know, can we digitize?
Underneath it is a big
all
of them? Box of, I don't know, not all of them, but there's a big box of them.
Okay.
So I cannot remember her name. Victor Neves used to, his mom used to write for the Citizen.
Oh.
What was her name?
Victor.
Neves, I know. Yeah, she went and created a picture for that. The Hank Canyon, too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Our first logo.
Yeah, I cannot think of
her first
name. I was
trying to think of her
name, do you know?
I will talk to Victor. I can do that. Okay, so, but I'm going to write your name in excerpt right, because I'm probably going to forget why I was talking to
him. I don't know where he's at these days.
Okay.
So you know Victor then, right?
Over there.
Okay.
You know Victor.
I do. We hang out. His daughter and my son are good friends, and when they were in school.
One thing I might mention, Charlie knows. We got a whole bunch of those books back that Arlene made for the plane. And the time she took over the plane was at the beginning. She had a scrapbook for every plane.
Is that over there?
Right over here.
That's where they are? Okay. Yeah, that's them right there.
Yeah.
Okay, so we need to survey what we have here, because it sounds like we've got a lot of different things in here. What we have there, and what all of you know about, and we'll ask around what else exists, because you know those people, right? Okay, we're going to have to create a catalog. There's lots of different softwares, and I'm just going to have to figure out what's going to work best, because, like, here is an example of, I went to this museum of McGrath, and they have, here, Charlie, let me see this. They have, where did they go? Sorry. I just clicked off my thing. All right, never mind. We're going to go back to my screen. There. Now, let's try again. Let's try not to click off it. So there are different systems where you can, you know, record the information you need, like where we got it and where we're storing it and those kinds of images and things. And as my genealogist friend said, this should be available to the public. Right, so that the descendants and residents can find these actual things, and we're not storing them in some
hidden place.
Right, and so like the one in McGrath, the little page that thing, it linked to an actual folder, and you know, for those documents, it told us exactly where they were. Okay, so website. I was talking with Donna Carden, who's the librarian. She's also on the city website committee, and we are getting too big for the city, and we have a lot more to put on the website once we do all this. So we are going to have to start our own website, which is fine. We can do that. And so, you know, we'll have to find a host site. We'll have to figure out how we possibly can. Donna was telling me all about how we can get certain grants and things to do these kinds of things. So also, you think of people when I'm talking that are like, oh, they're good at grants, or oh, they're good at, you're going to just start storing up people that you know that are good, that might be helpful to us, or we might have to volunteer to help, okay? You know, we might be able to get a college intern from either BYU or UVU to actually create the website for us. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because they have assignments like that. We might want to take advantage of that. I also would like to create an email specifically for our society, an email, so like info@, once we get the website, we will make a email contact. Then we will add all these things that we've been digitizing to the website. And I would also like to find a bunch, we have a lot of good genealogists in Highland, and I ask them to volunteer to go through the history that you've written and attach any documents that are sources of, or will back up the information you have, so that there'll be links. You can just literally click on, oh, they're in this census page, oh, they're in this, and anybody researching that family could go right to all the documents, okay? So remember, I'm brainstorming out loud so you can think I'm whatever. Then there's the heirlooms and artifacts. As Charlie said, we are outgrowing this, and the mayor has told me that the White family has a couple outbuildings full of stuff for us.
Three or four. I've seen it.
So Charlie is saying we need to grow to a larger museum, and so I've been asking around a little bit about this. This is something that's obviously a future piece, because we need to start with collecting and digitizing and that kind of thing in interviews. But because this is so big, we are going to just bring it up today, and we're just going to start to think about the concept. So obviously, we would take pictures of all these things. All of these things would be cataloged and put on the website so that people can at least, you know, and any of the things in the big buildings. But when I started pondering the museum, I do not want to be a fundraiser over the museum. I want to find people that are good at that kind of thing. But, you know, when you think about fundraising, land procurement, preservation of the things, and even after you get a building, then you've got to have maintenance and security and utilities and staffing. And, you know, and my friends were saying you need to have an accessible historian and research assistants, you know, that kind of historian, be able to accept donations for services, because you would charge for those.
You want to pull that out, Charlie?
Sorry. Is that driving you crazy? Okay. So I've been visiting other museums, just looking around. Charlie and I have a connection in McGrath, Alberta. Funny thing is that I went up to a big reunion in McGrath this summer. My grandparents came from McGrath, and World War II took them to D.C. So anyway, through Utah that way. But my gift family first came to Lehigh, and then were sent to Alberta. And Charlie's family also came to Lehigh and went up to McGrath, Alberta, his Miller family. And so our families were the early. So the funny thing is that I went to this museum and saw all of these great ideas, and then found out that that's how Charlie and I have this connection. His mother was born up there, or right before?
She was born just before they moved up there.
And then his grandfather decided not to stay, and they came back to Highland.
Well, they came to
Holiday
or somewhere up there first, and then
Highland. So anyway, we just have this funny little connection there. So McGrath has all these little interactive exhibits, and so just lots of ideas that we'll talk about later. But I've been pondering, well, do we partner with the Arts Council, because we have a lot of history of artists in this community that would be good to help us do this. And then when I was talking to Donna, she really blew my mind, because during COVID, someone came to her and asked if they could do a feasibility study about expanding the library or building a new building, right? And she said it didn't actually work out for her. She said that it was perfect for what we need. That she was suggesting that we encourage people to build a community center and merge that with the museum. And therefore, the city would take care of it, which I think is a great idea. So, all right, I'm pushing. We've got family museum. I've been looking at a lot of ideas on ways we can make it interactive, because this isn't really appropriate for little children, but we can have a lot of ideas, and we'll talk about them later. You know, make a mock road roadometer of the Harmons, and make little peas with pea sprouts that, you know, we can give out for little activities because of our pea viners. We can do a lot of little fun interactive. Anyway, so this is the McGrath Museum. They even have, I'll show you this afterwards so we can get through real quick. Last thing, we can talk more about funding and grants and donations next time. There's lots of educational ideas, working with the fourth grade for Utah history, working with the library to do little activities, making coloring books. And let's just talk about the Highland Fling since she needs to go. Okay, so we're on the Highland Fling Committee. And we need to know what we want to update this with. We need to change the picture. And if those of you can stay, you can help me look through the pictures Aaron Pritchett sent me and pick one. So we need to figure out what we want it to say in the Highland Fling magazine. We are going to create a servicemen display so that the early Highlands that have, you know, served in the military. And they have asked us to have some, I think we can come up with some simple children's activities. And they've asked us to move some of the things out of here into another room. And that's going to take a little planning to figure out how we do that safely. But they don't feel like this is a safe room to just bring children, you know. And they feel like, oh, they also want us to create a sign, design a sign, and tell them where would they want, where we want those signs.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's got track director, right?
Yeah. So
is that a hot tractor?
I actually have a track like that, but it's not it's not running right now. Isn't that a cub?
Yes.
Yeah.
So they want the historical site to have a the little thing. I'm doing something with the tractors. So there will be two different ones on the historical side.
Yeah, so after Brenda leaves, we'll go through and pick. There's a bunch of them. Okay. We'll come back to that. But so anyway, you guys haven't, what is your feedback? What are your thoughts? And will you just send me ideas of people that can either should be interviewed or that would be great resources for some of these ideas? And tell me what are the things that you feel like I want to be involved with this, because you want my thing.
Well, I got, you know, just by living here, Charlie's out with me, but, you know, there's a lot of things that we just know.
I mean, that's what I'm telling you.
Anything, and what I'm saying is, we'll have to figure out what you want to know, and then we'll go from there, because, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about things that we just grew up with.
No, Mark. Quentin White is one main group.
Well, if Quentin's ready to help out or get involved, even if he isn't, we can start a conversation with him. And as long as it's not big and that, he'll kind of talk about a lot of things.
He's been a lot longer than all of us here.
So, I ought to find out how the well of Dave's memory is.
Yeah, I was wondering. These are the names I have on my list: Quentin White, Carol, here, Luella Day. Sometimes when you play with earlier memories, those things work better than more recent things. So we can see how that goes. And then you're on my list. The Seiss sisters, you know, talking about
them. That's great.
David Durpee. Anyway, I want. Yeah, he's on my list. All of you. All of you. Mark's right there. There he is. Anyway, so be pondering that. Be pondering who might be good to help us figure out a museum idea, some ideas for the museum, and who might have things that we should be sharing with them.
Dennis LeBaron,
okay.
Yeah, he was a city councilman for a while. And his father was the first mayor.
Right.
Okay.
And he's got a video of Highland, early Highland church. People were coming out of church and stuff going on. I've got a copy of it.
Hmm? Nice.
I bet Selma's kids might have some good stuff over here.
We did a video biography of Sylvan. My husband and I did that. Yes. Cool. So, if we could get permission to share some of those features, that would be good.
I gotta go.
So, how about we officially adjourn, and then anybody want to stay and see some of the pictures or some of the ideas?
To make a motion, somebody.
A motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
So, yeah, so if we just want to stay and throw any thoughts at me or pick up a picture for the page.
Oh,
I don't have to pick it. Okay. Right. I think that's pretty much.
Thanks, Brenda.
I typed it up so that we were going to have to go fast, and I didn't want to have to write as fast as I was talking.
Well, I'm glad you just gave me that paper, because I went, oh, this is already on here. Great.
So I was hoping that would help you too.
It does. Thank
you. Normally, I don't want to talk as much. Normally, I want you to talk.
All right. You
think I've got a lot of great ideas.
See you.
Now, this is not a meeting, then. This is an informal whatever she said it was.
Should we turn off the recorder then?
Yeah, go ahead. Oh, yeah, we have to push the stop.
Where's the stop button?
Okay.
Right there.